At the top of the program today, a new dispute involving Michigan's recently enacted right-to-work law unfolded this week. On Monday, Midland's Mackinac Center Legal Foundation announced it's taking action against the Michigan Education Association. The conservative organization alleges the MEA, which is a 150,000-member union, mostly representing teachers, did not allow 8 teachers who wanted to stop paying union dues to drop out. Miriam Chansky is a kindergarten teacher from Cooperville in West Michigan. She's the lead plaintiff in the case. She wants out of the teachers' union but was unaware of the August window, which was the only time she could opt out.
I definitely think that there is information withheld from us, and I think it was withheld for the reason of keeping members, and keeping members against their will in some circumstances like my own.
Now, Michigan's union landscape changed back in March when Michigan became the country's 24th right-to-work state, making dues-paying optional for unionized workers. We're joined today by the director of the Mackinac Center Legal Foundation to talk about the action. We need to make two other things clear. Number one, current state invited the Michigan Education Association to participate in this segment as well. They declined, saying they respect the process whereby the charges will be heard in front of the Michigan Employment Relations Commission. They say that is where they will litigate the issue. MEA spokesman Doug Pratt did, however, agree to join current state next Tuesday. We also need to point out that many WKAR employees are represented by the Michigan Education Association. That said, we welcome Patrick Wright, director of the Mackinac Center Legal Foundation, to current state. Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
You have filed separate unfair labor practice complaints on behalf of 8 Michigan teachers, claiming they were unable to withdraw from the union or stop paying dues. What are you saying happened here?
Essentially that the union is making a claim that is incorrect. They are claiming that they have this continuing membership requirement and that the union's constitution and bylaws trump state law, that people are only allowed to withdraw from the month of August. Compounding matters is the fact that the union didn't tell anybody about this. There has been a recent law change which prohibits school districts from assisting unions get their money, so that the union are supposed to collect their own dues from their own members. And so the unions have been running around trying to get people to sign up for what they call e-dues, which is this process by which that you can either give them your bank account or credit card, and they will take them out as a monthly charge. Well, during this entire process, which has been going on at least since May when the Sixth Circuit upheld the law that said you couldn't have school districts participate in the dues withdrawal process anymore, the unions have been trying to gather this money. Well, right to work has been law since March. And one would think that during this whole period that the unions might have mentioned the application of right to work during this time period and their belief that if you wanted to exercise right to work, you must do so during this August window. None of my clients heard a single word about it. We don't think that the August window prohibits it, but that's what the unfair labor practice charge is, because what's happened now is the MEA does, and it is threatening these people with lawsuits and to ruin their credit if they don't give up the $1,000 a year.
Now, earlier this year, what did you know about how the union would process member requests to stop paying dues? Did you explore that? Did you assume that the August window had morphed into something else?
I had looked into the question of the application of right to work. We put out some stuff telling people to be ultra safe. They needed to file things in order to get out to make sure, and that, you know, resigning from the union was the safest way to make sure you could get to right to work. We sent out 30,000 emails. Somebody that we worked on, and were associated with, sent out emails. They asked us for some help. And so that happened in August. But, you know, there's 150,000 people. The MEA did nothing regarding this. And so we got to some people, but not to everybody.
So in a nutshell, you are claiming that right to work has rendered the August window, what, inadequate?
Yeah, the August window, first of all, should never have been allowed to stay in place. This before we had right to work, there are people, somebody who didn't want to be associated with the union could do was under the First Amendment, they could become a fee payer. And what that meant was the Supreme Court had said that people didn't have to give political money to the union. They would have to pay for a portion of the union's collective bargaining and for its grievance administration, but the money that the union used on politics, and the MEA, remember, is gathering close to $100 million a year, that they didn't have to give the union money for that. A gentleman wanted to become a fee payer. He wanted to become a fee payer immediately. America initially allowed him to become a fee payer immediately. At the time, the gentleman only had $30 that was at stake, and so when the MEA appealed it to the Court of Appeals, he was already out of the union by that point, and he didn't care anymore. So without taking any briefing or thoughts from the other side, the Court of Appeals looked at the decision Merck had made and said, you know what, you didn't make the decision for the right reasons. We're going to take this back down to Merck. And when it came back down to Merck, the composition had changed to a more labor-friendly group, and they decided that they were going to say that the August window, the union's administrative needs, trumped this man's First Amendment ability to get out as soon as he wanted. Again, he was out at the time, and so there was just kind of left there. That was never appealed again to the Court of Appeals. It's been sort of the status quo for a while. And so that decision, we think, was wrong as applied to fee payers, and we certainly think that the right-to-work law would change whatever dynamic there is. There's also another case from the United States Supreme Court, which came out last year, which indicated that they believe that they're concerned about this thing called opt-in and opt-out. And essentially, the unions make these fee payers, and again, I'm switching from fee payers from right-to-work. It's a little bit different question. But they make these fee payers opt out every single year. You say, I don't want anything to do with the union. The union presumes that the next year you must still want to give them full dues. So unless you fill out all the paperwork again, then you have to do all of this. And the Supreme Court said, you know, why are we allowing this? It was in the context of a different case. But they said, you know, we've been looking at this for 40 years. We don't know how this developed. And essentially announced that they would be willing to accept cases that challenge this whole concept.
Okay.
So when you look at those two things, we think it's pretty clear that this 2004 decision was wrong even then, and it certainly is wrong when applied to right to work. And therefore, the union going around telling people, like Ms. Chansky, that they're going to ruin her credit rating if she doesn't give them $1,000 is an unlawful threat and intimidation, which is prohibited by Michigan's Public Employment Relations Act.
The MEA's Doug Pratt, as I pointed out, will be joining us next Tuesday. He declined to join in this segment here today, but right. He did share one other comment with me yesterday. He called your action, quote, a baseless rehashing of a case already decided by Merck, that's the Michigan Employment Relations Commission, more than a decade ago. Is it clear what Merck has decided here?
That was the decision I just discussed to you that was wrong
okay.
for the reasons that why it was wrong. Mr. Pratt knows that this isn't baseless, otherwise he'd be on your show right now. And quite frankly, when one looks at the MEA's response, they're a $100 million a year bully that's threatening teachers. And the fact that they're not engaged in the public relations battle means that they're kind of hoping that this thing blows over. This is an entity that is one of the most powerful political actors in the state. And yet they have chosen, in this case, power over principle, money over their membership, and cash over their colleagues. They think that it is so important for them to get this money that they are going to withhold valuable information from their own membership.
I don't want to get too far off this situation with the MEA, but how is this new right to work option being handled by other Michigan unions? Do they have an equivalent of the August window or?
Yeah, the National Right to Work Legal Defense Fund is actually there's a Teamsters bus driver that they are representing out of Howell. That is a very similar case. I believe they filed the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation also filed a similar case about a paraprofessional, but I believe that she is MEA. So all of the public sector unions have, a lot of them have these withdrawal windows. Now, what's interesting about the MEAs is that they claim theirs is for administrative reasons, that they have to have it in August for budgeting and so forth. Some of the other public sector unions throughout the states just do it as a one-year anniversary. So, you know, we don't think that with Ms. Chansky, what was interesting was she tried to get out in May. And Steve Cook had sent out a letter right after Right to Work passed that we got a hold of and we put on our Capital Confidential news source. And in this letter, Cook says, we're not going to take any people who try and withdraw before August, and we're not going to take any people after August. So they either have to hit August absolutely correctly, or we're not going to allow it. So, you know, what is the point of not allowing people who've made it clear that they want to get out in May, like Miriam Chansky did, from withdrawing? What's the point of it? Well, the point is to try and erect as many obstacles as you can in order to keep those people in order to take their money. MEA may very well dislike this law. I know that it dislikes this law, and it feels that this is an improper thing, but it is the law, and they are misleading their own membership in order to try and get more money.
We're just about out of time. Just talk to me briefly about the larger response to your announcement this week, to your action this week.
Well, it has done what we expected, and that is there's a lot of people that are very interested in what's going on here. Again, the MEA, as we all know, is one of the most important political actors in the state, and the fact that they have some of their own membership who are feeling that they violated the golden rule, who were misled and deceived by their own union, has obviously led to a lot of interest throughout the state, and quite frankly, we're starting to get some national interest as well.
Patrick Wright is the director of the Mackinac Center Legal Foundation. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Mark. I appreciate it.
Sure.